Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Thanks, fans. What's up? It's your boy Jordan Poirier out here, man. I'm here. I'm home. Got the palm trees in the back, man. I can cry, man. This is beautiful. I love being here, man. Can't wait to get to work. See y'all soon. Fins up.
I don't know whether to be, like, just appalled by that or just puke. Like, I don't know what to do. He's home. Jordan Poirier. In a video he posted to social media, and the Dolphins posted as well, reposted, at the Dolphins facility. So he's enjoying the palm trees. Good. I mean, you live there in the offseason, so it must be nice. But I hope you enjoy getting swept by the Bills twice a year, because that's what's about to happen to you. You're about to be on the receiving end of Josh Allen cooking you, and that's what's going to happen. So, speaking of the Bills, they signed a defensive end today. Who'd have thunk it? From the Commanders. Two Hill, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. He had five sacks last season. So we essentially, I've seen a couple tweets about this. We've signed Shaq Lawson, but from the Commanders. That's kind of what I'm seeing there. Either way, Bills needed some help defensive end-wise, some depth. And, you know, I'm not really opposed to it. I don't think it's something they were necessarily going to go for in the draft. Maybe they do. It's kind of been the talk. Is it tackle? Is it edge? Or what is it going to be? We'll say. We'll have to wait and see. I think it's going to be wide receiver. Talked to a lot of you yesterday out there, and you thought it was going to be wide receiver as well. I was sitting here talking with Evan DePasquale in the break on the board, pushing the buttons. Played a nice that was Holiday by Lil Nas X, by the way. Because it's snowing outside. I feel like I'm on a crisp December evening. I walked out to my car to grab something, and I'm in 3 inches of snow. I got my ankles are getting covered in snow. Like, what is happening right now? You may be asking, what did you go out to your car for mid-show? And I went out to grab my Slug Sabres jersey that I'm going to wear when this game is on tonight. The Buffa Slug. One of the more hated symbols in all of Buffalo sports memorabilia.
I don't know if... I mean... Here's the thing. It's ugly, but I think people respect it because the Sabres were actually good in them.
Yeah, they were good.
I think the turd burger gets more hate for that, which is basically Nashville Predators look. Honestly, the Nashville Predators, like, their goal horn is basically a copycat of the Sabres.
Yeah, I mean, they're a cat logo, so it makes sense. They're going to be a copycat. But listen, I want to get to a tweet, too, I saw in the break from Scotto. If and when the Sabres miss the playoffs this year, how about we switch head coaches with Rochester after Mitch leads them on another playoff run? Let the teaching coach go down and teach the system. Let the coach who gets teams to the playoffs have a shot at the Sabres. I'd say a good chunk of people probably wouldn't be opposed to that. I mean, at this point, though, I feel like if Don Granato gets this team like they are, there's 7% chance to make the playoffs. But if they make it close all the way, he's going to stick around. And I know that might not be what a lot of people want to hear. A lot of people want the coaching change. Is it warranted? It's his third full season now. It might be able to argue yes, but his extension kicks in next season. So once you kind of gamble on him, you're gambling on him. We're splashing the pot, going all in, and Kevin Adams as well. So, Sabres, Vancouver Canucks coming up 9 p.m. pregame with Brian Koziel and company right here on WGR. 10 o'clock puck drop. Boy oh boy, hopefully they play a game like they did last night. That's what you want. That's what you need if you're the Sabres at this point. You kind of need to assert dominance, if you will, and win these games and, you know, make that playoff push. And that's the tough part about it is it's unrealistic to expect them to win all of these games, the remainder of their games for the rest of the season, because they are consistently inconsistent. Let us know what you think. What do you think the offseason might look like for the Sabres? What do you think, you know, what do you think of the slug even? Let's get that on the table here. Can call the number 716-803-0550 or can tweet on X at the Buffalonian underscore or at WGR550. Would love to hear from the fans, get connected with our fans, and it's always nice to hear from everyone out there. Especially, it's kind of a more positive note today that I was hoping it would go this way. We have a lot of great stuff to talk about last night. Excuse me, and the Sabres are just. They're in a spot right now where it's do or die, but I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling all right. Evan, how are you feeling? We're now an hour closer to pregame here. Are you? I mean, is there anything lingering in your mind that might, you know, be hindering you thinking the playoffs are a possibility for the Sabres? I should ask first. Do you think that's like a? Do you think they're going to go?
Short, basically, no.
Yeah.
I wish I could say. Yes, we're making the playoffs. We're going to end the drought. Feeling like how I was feeling at the beginning of the season back in October. But it's kind of just be enjoyable, entertaining. Yeah. Make me want to sit down and watch.
Play meaningful games in March and let us watch, please. That's what it is. A snowy night in Buffalo, there's not a lot going on around here. It is time to watch some Sabres hockey. Go to your local spot, go into your living room, put the fire on, make it a nice winter evening, even though the first day of spring is like tomorrow. I don't know. It's interesting. UPL. I mean, we need to talk about UPL. We really do. Because he's been absolutely locked down, and I know he's not necessarily going to play tonight. Levi's going to play, but UPL needs to have an entirely separate conversation because this guy in the 2024 calendar year is about to earn himself a trophy at the end of the season. That's all I'm saying. This guy is the real deal. He's it. And I don't know if he's it, right? But for this season, for this current roster, he is the goalie. And if Levi can get up there with him, and they can be a tandem together, I think it's going to be a tandem that could go a long way in this league of the NHL. Time to get connected with our fans in the second hour of the program here. Getting connected with our fans brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Shop online at northtownautomotive.com. Tanner in Amherst, what you got for us tonight?
Hey, well, thank you for getting connected with your fans because you got a big one right here that's speaking with you right now. But obviously, you know, you got a big game tonight against Vancouver, and I just wanted to know your general thoughts because obviously, you know, we played them earlier in the season. It was a 1-0 game. Now, granted, that was a UPL game, and it's probably going to be Devin Levi tonight as the expected goaltender. But like I said, it was a 1-0 game, and we just kind of got Demko'd, or not even, we didn't even get Demko'd. It was just one of those games, you know, the Sabres kind of had a phase in the middle of the season where they just took, you know, a bunch of shots from 35 feet out, you know, a bunch of low-danger opportunities, and, you know, just because you had the high shot volume doesn't really mean much if they're low-danger chances, and you can't win games like that against, you know, a goalie like Thatcher Demko. So now that we don't have to play him tonight, what are your general thoughts on the game? I'll take my comments off the air. I got my radio on, so I can hear what you have to say. But thank you, Joe. You're doing great work. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't compliment the man behind the glass, Evan DePasquale, as well. So thank you, and I'll shut up now and hear what you have to say.
All right, Tanner, thank you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
That is, it's
Thank you, Tanner. Much appreciated. Listen, my thoughts for the game stem out of one thing. Can they play like they played last night? Can they continue? Can they be consistent? That's the big question. I may or may not wager on this game. Maybe I'll do it live on the show. Maybe I'll put my bet out there live, what I'm planning on doing. I want to say the Sabres are going to win this game because you're right. It was a 1-0 loss. It was a UPL game. But UPL wasn't UPLing yet, right? He wasn't UPW at that point. UPL in this resurgence in the 2024 calendar year has been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL statistically. And I know he's not playing tonight. It's going to be Devon Levi. But still, even with a subpar UPL, you kept that game 1-0, right? Your offense has been kind of cooking lately. You're moving quicker. Bo Byram is making... Him and Dahlin are playing offensive defense, right? They're moving around, switching sides, causing confusion, mass confusion, and delay. Thomas the Tank Engine quote right there. They're causing mass confusion. That's what you need. This team starting to move back into that offense that was just fast, moving. Didn't think about it. Not didn't care about the puck, but they couldn't care less because they were just moving around as fast as they could. They're getting back into that now. And I have the utmost confidence they're going to be able to continue that tonight. I truthfully do. I would love to say I can sit here and tell you that that is a positive 100% going to happen, but I can't. Let's do a little scoreboard check here. I haven't done that in a little bit. Taking a look now, I'm going to refresh the page, get the latest stats for you. Maple Leafs are still down 2-0 against the Flyers with 16:03 left in the second period. Bruins are up 2-0 on the Senators, 16:39 left in the second period. Red Wings and Blue Jackets are tied. Oh no, that swung in the opposite direction. We need the Red Wings to keep moving on that one, I believe. Let me double check Brian Koziel's tweet. Nope, we need the Blue Jackets to beat the Red Wings. Yes, so I was correct. Blue Jackets need to beat the Red Wings. It's gone out of our favor on that one. Blue Jackets need to button it up. 14:46 left in the second period. Plenty of time. The Winnipeg Jets are 1-0 over the Rangers. The Hurricanes are 3-0 over the Islanders. That's huge. That's huge. That's exactly what you need to happen. 3-0 at the end of the first. Let's keep piling it on, Carolina. Take our Jeff Skinner juju back and, you know, use it to help the Sabres into the playoffs here. Because that's what it's going to be. And I hate it. I mean, Brayton and I were talking about it yesterday. Brayton Wilson of WGR and WBEN. We were talking about it yesterday. We hate scoreboard watching, right? The Bills, we were even scoreboard watching for the Bills this season because they were 6-6 and 5-5 at one point, right? They ended up being the 2 seed in the AFC. Not saying the Sabres are going to just climb the rankings. It's not possible because they have more sample size of games that average into the percentage, everything like that. But you can't count them out, right? And scoreboard watching is the worst thing, worst feeling, because you have to rely on something else to happen in order to get your team where it needs to be. And it might not always go your way. So it's going to be tough. 7.2% chance the players or the Sabres make the playoffs. Excuse me. We're going to just have to wait and see how she goes on that one. Ugh. Yikers. 7.2%. It was 6 yesterday, or 5, something like that. And jumped up to another numerical digit there, which is nice. I don't know. I'm trying to hold myself back from being too optimistic, I'm going to be honest with you. And I know Josh Schmidt, Captain Optimism on Twitter, producer for the morning show with Jeremy and Joe. He's all about optimism. I said hopeless optimistic yesterday, and I got a text immediately. It's like he hears it. It's like Batman. He sees a signal in the sky, and that's it. I feel like we had a caller call in today already. He doesn't want to be the punchline anymore watching every Sabres game. You're going to get to that point. The Sabres are going to get to the point where you're not going to be the punchline for watching every game. I know I'm sitting here and I'm admitting to everybody I can't stand to watch every Sabres game because of the way they're so consistently inconsistent. They can't put a solid entire game together. They can't put a solid 3 periods together. It's the first period's good and then they collapse, or it's the first period's bad, the next two are fantastic, or you know what? It's 1 and 3 are great and the second one's horrible. It's different. It's a different team every time you watch them.
I mean, think about the first Anaheim game. They came out like garbage in the first 40 minutes.
Yes.
And in the third period, they almost came back and won.
Exactly.
And this is to the Ducks.
Exactly.
And this is a team that's better than you. That's the thing that also bothered me, is that you lost to teams that you should have beaten, and, you know...
That's the big story. You should have beaten a lot of teams and you didn't. That is the biggest thing for this season, I would say. One of.
I think what bothers me the most is that I was expecting changeover in the division, and basically everything has been the same. Boston is still incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is, you know, Florida is definitely up there, and Tampa, and just is still the exact same thing.
Right. Well, give us your thoughts on the Sabres season, 716-803-0550, or on Twitter at The Buffalonian. Let us know. Let me know. What do you think on the state of the Sabres now in the offseason, this past season, the season before? I mean, I remember last season, Tage Thompson scored 4 goals in the first period himself. Haven't seen any of that, and that might be due to injury, right? The Sabres just need to get more consistent, more guys that are maybe that generational talent. And while I do agree that Tage is not that generational talent, it's just, you know, it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough because you see a team like the Bills, right? Not to relate football to hockey because they are two completely different sports, right? But I don't know. The Bills' drought ended. It finally came to an end. 18 years. It came to an end. 18 years. The Sabres, not quite there yet. We're getting close. And I don't know. I gotta cool myself off here talking about the Sabres. We'll move to some Bills talk. How about that? Dan in Westfield, get connected with our fans. Looks like you want to talk some Bills. Let's chat. What did you got?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I mean, Kincaid really showed his stuff. I mean, he was a first-round pick. I mean, he did his job. I mean, he overexceeded his job from what I see. And it's just a compliment to what our receiving team can do this year. And now they've added some other key players. I think we're pretty well. Yeah, they could maybe add a third, I would say. I wouldn't go for a second or a first. I mean, look at what third-round choices can do versus what a first-round choice can do, you know, or even a second-round. I mean, I don't think they need to really go for a first-round choice on that. Maybe they need to go for something else. I don't know what you guys thinking. I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. The first round's not always where you find your best player. Let's look at the cornerbacks real quick. You have Kyer Elam taken in the first round, and Christian Benford's taken in the same draft just later. And look at how that turned out. Christian Benford, well, your starter, you know? And Kyer Elam's on the bench, unfortunately. You don't want to waste a first-round pick. At least it evened out, I guess, right? But, I mean, I'm kind of with you on that. I don't think it's out of the question. The receiver class is so deep. You are able to kind of wait around maybe until the third round and get some decent receivers. I think you kind of package.
Yeah, you might be able to get, you know, you might even get a second round or a third round from the first-round picks. You know, I mean, I don't know what it is, what it is. But.
Yeah, but you're right. Kincaid, I mean, the Bills are pretty stacked, right? Your offense is pretty much set. Now you have Curtis Samuel. You'll just need to get a couple key pieces in there, the receivers, right? That's really it. That's the talk. And then the defense, I think they're going to fill in maybe in more free agency and later in the draft. But I do agree with you. I don't think you have to go right away guns blazing in the first round if it's not there. Wait until the third round, you know? Second round, you might find something, you know?
Yeah, pick up a lineman or pick an offensive O-lineman.
They got Osiris Torrance last year early, and look at how well he panned out for the Bills. He fixed the offensive line, essentially, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's a lot you can do there. I appreciate the call, Dan. It was great chatting with you, getting off the Sabres for a minute, as, you know, it's all high stakes for them, the Bills we can chat about. So, thanks for the call. Much appreciated.
Yep, have a great night. Thanks, guys.
You as well. Thank you. Alrighty, getting connected with our fans still. Dave in Lancaster, back on the Sabres. What do we got? Dave, you there? Oh, we hear you. You there, Dave?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Loud and clear now.
All right, yeah, the Sabres are, like, close. And but the reason I'm talking, those same top four teams, Florida, Tampa,
mm-hmm.
Boston, and Toronto, you look at their goal scoring and goals, and like Tampa's got Kucherov, 116 points, 40 goals, and Braden Point. Toronto's got three guys with pushing 90 points, and one guy, the 55 goals for Matthews. Boston's got Pasternak. He's got his 40 and 90, almost 100 points. Florida, unfortunately, got Reinhart, and he's close to 50 goals, and then they also got Tkachuk. There are guys up front. You know, you go to the scoring leaders in the NHL, they got their big guns are producing. I think our highest forward, well, first he's in Colorado now, but now our highest scoring guy's got like 40-something points. So do we realistically think we're going to catch these teams unless these higher-priced forwards, they're going to have to pick it up, like I would say, well, not this year, certainly next year. Like,
yeah. No,
they're selling out a lot of money. Our defense is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a believer in building your team from the inside out, which, I mean, there was a time I was, they got two great young goalies. They've got their defense is solid, even without Samuelson.
Yeah.
But the forwards up front are just not getting it done here.
No, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. It's been such a lull for a lot of those forwards this season. You know, Tage Thompson, over 40 goals last year. I don't even want to know the metric. Skinner's at like 26, 25, something like that. Like, you can't win like that. So I 100% agree with you. It's not going to be this season 100%, you know, that you're going to get that production at all. But I do essentially agree with you there. You don't have a consistent scorer at all this season.
Yeah, and even moving into future years, like Skinner's going to get his 9. You got 7 for Cousins, 7 for Tage. There's other forwards. So we're not going to be able to bring in guys. So they're going to have to get it done in the next 3 years because you're going to have to pay Paterka. You're going to have to pay the goalie UPL. You're going to have to new defenseman Byram, like, if he's playing with Dahlin, he's going to rack up some numbers, and he's going to want his money. So it's really up to some of these high-priced forwards that they're really, in future years, are going to have to seriously be the answer.
Yeah, and they might have to splurge a little bit on some higher-priced guys. Absolutely. I'm in agreement with you. You need that consistent scorer. Maybe that, as we talked about earlier, maybe that generational talent at one point, right? You might have to go out there and grab one and see what happens because your consistent scorers are now consistently inconsistent all season long. So, of the team.
Well, in the future, the cap space is kind of really not going to be there.
Right, right.
You're going to have to, because the set with Powers contract and others kicking in. So it's not like they're going to be able to get a free agent. They're going to have to trade a big contract and for another one, and hopefully, you know, or maybe it's the lines. Like, you got Gergensen's on your top line, like that's not scaring anybody there. And that's I know it's working temporarily, but your top six need to be your top six.
Yeah, absolutely. I listen, I'm in agreement. They're not getting it done this year. It's not a lost cause, essentially, because they are there's a 7% chance to make the playoffs, right? So they can get in as a fringe team if things really go their way and they actually play consistently, but they need a season-long consistent scorer. They need their scores to come back. You need Tage Thompson to do what he did last year. You need Alex Tuck to be doing what he was doing, Skinner even to do what he was doing, right? And that just hasn't been happening. And, you know, in the offseason, maybe you do go get a couple more guys who can do that, right? And you might be able to make something happen there. But
my last quick little comment would
absolutely
be Zach Benson at 18, like, this guy is terrific.
He is.
And he played center in juniors, you know, he just played center. I think that when they traded Casey Mittelstadt, I think they already had in the back of Kevin Adams that was thinking, that's my third-line center. Give him a year or two to fill out. But
yeah, I mean, he's an 18-year-old kid.
The road is going to be that third-line center.
Yeah, he's an 18-year-old kid, and he's playing very well to start. So I'm excited to see his development, and he might develop into that consistent scorer. So we'll have to wait and see. But Dave from Lancaster, thank you very much for the call. Go Sabres. Right. Enjoy the rest of your evening here, and we'll hope for the best tonight. Adam in Toronto, we're going to get to you right out of the break here. If you could just hold on a few moments. Oh, boy. Getting closer to Sabres pregame here. Brian Koziel joins us at 8:45. This is the Nightcap. I'm Joe Calle. You are listening to WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And it'll be Alex Tuch looking to play it ahead, and he does. Drop for Tage Thompson. Shot scores! Tage Thompson, each team on their first shot of the hockey game. Put one in the back of the net, and Tage ties it at one.
There we go. Tied at one. Hopefully we get an exciting matchup like that. Maybe not letting them start off so fast on us, but an exciting matchup like that tonight. Time to, again, once again, get connected with our fans. Adam from Toronto, thanks to salary cap, might keep him from getting better. What you got for us?
Yeah, so the idea of the salary cap was to protect the smaller clubs, but it's had exactly the opposite effect. Because what it did is the floor came up, and it hurt the teams. And, I mean, look at Columbus. I mean, they were supposed to be that. They're the reason like that it was there, and it hasn't made them any better. But I want to put something out for you, and then I'm going to hang up. The Women's Hockey League, the Professional Women's Hockey League, uses the 3-2-1-0 standing rig. And I think that's something the NHL should really look at. Three for a win, two for an overtime win, one for an overtime loss, and zero for a regular loss. And you'd be amazed how different the standings would look right now.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. I'm kind of on the 3-2-1 system. You know, I didn't know that there's a 3-2-1-0. I didn't know that was a thing. I'm more on board with that. I don't think a regulation, you know, loss is zero, of course. 3 points for regulation win, 2 points for an overtime shootout win, 1 point for an overtime or shootout loss. So you're I hate the current point system that the NHL uses. I don't think it's true to the standings, right? And, you know, you still, with this system, you still give them the point for an overtime loss, right? So it's just, I don't know. Do you even give them that? There's no other sport that kind of gives you that, you know, that gives you the point for an overtime loss. It might help you in the standings eventually that you didn't have a loss, but you have one in a separate category, right? But, you know, you're kind of stuck where you are in that situation, I would say. I don't know. I don't mind that. I don't mind the 3-2-1-0. I'm going to be honest with you. It's kind of what I think I spoke about that a little bit yesterday, alluded to that as being optimal. I despise the current point system because you have teams that are just racking up overtime losses and overtime points, whatever they are, and they have more less wins than you do, but they have more points because of the overtime. So it's just, to me, it's just kind of, you know, the saying is it's easy to make the playoffs in the NHL because you can just win in overtime or lose in overtime, just take the game to overtime and you get a point, and you could double up on teams who just lose in regulation. So I don't know. I 100% agree with you. I like it. I know basketball doesn't do anything like that. I know football definitely doesn't. There's no point system at all in any of those, and it's just, I don't know. I would have to look and see if soccer did it. I thought it was just standings too. Football, I should say. I feel like it's just standings. I think that's the that's what I would like. You know, the Sabres record is the Sabres record and head-to-heads, that kind of stuff. I know they have a ton of games, all right? You can't really run that like a lacrosse season or a football season or anything like that because there's 82 games and there's, you know, 18 weeks in the NFL and 16, I believe, in the NLL. And the Bandits are, you know, we'll pivot to the Bandits for a little bit here. Getting closer to Brian Koziel joining us on the on the nightcap, of course, but as a pregame for the Sabres pregame, which just starts at 9 p.m. The Bandits are doing all right. They're actually they had problems closing out games before, right? So they had problems closing them out. They've started being able to actually put games together and close them out. They were down last Saturday, big time against Toronto. They couldn't get a lead on them. And all of a sudden, they come out of nowhere and pass them in the fourth and stay ahead at the end to win the game. You see them closing out games, and, you know, it's cool to watch. And I talked about this a little bit yesterday, right? The Sabres in KeyBank Center, it's tough to go in there because they can't really sell the on-ice product, where the Bandits are selling the on-field product. They win championships. They're coming off a championship season. Even in a little bit of a hangover, they're doing just fine. They're still on pace to maybe make the playoffs. And with the Bills season especially, right? Look at the Chiefs. If you make the playoffs, anything's possible. They were on road games every single game, and they won the Super Bowl. So can't count anyone out, no matter what the record is. They reset for the playoffs. And that might even be true with the Sabres because they're talked about as being one of the more dangerous teams in the NHL to make the playoffs if they happen to, where, you know, they might get frisky with a team in there. They might play like the best team in the NHL. They might not. The series could get interesting, and I would love to see the Sabres in a good playoff series. That would always be, that'd be something really cool, you know? I've never seen it before in my life. I mean, I definitely could have seen, you know, they were decent in my later childhood, but again, too young to really comprehend what was going on. And it's going to be good. The future is bright for the Sabres, even with this kind of dark cloud, as a caller alluded to earlier, that we're still kind of in, I guess, because they haven't broken the drought. They're still going and, you know, struggling to get past it, but they're still right around the point where they were last season, where, yeah, you were 1 point out, but it's the best the team's looked. And in a lesser season, in my opinion, you're looking at it and it looks better. Right now, you have a 7.2% chance to make the playoffs. You last season were running with 2% for the longest time, and you almost had it. You were 1 point out. If you didn't drop 8 straight games in the middle of November, you would have been absolutely fine. So, you know, that's the thing. It's just alluded to earlier. They lost to teams that they shouldn't have lost against. It's almost like the Bills, right? This season was a lackluster season until Joe Brady got the coordinator job, and then everything kind of turned around, right? But you're sitting there like, what is going on? The Giants are giving us a run for their money with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. The Denver Broncos surprised the 12 men on the field. Like, what is happening? And even in a lesser season for the Bills, they still kind of make it. So the Sabres are in a lesser season than last season, in my opinion. And you know what? They have actually a better chance than they did at any point in the final couple weeks last season to make the playoffs, percentage-wise, I should say. Because the percentage-wise last season, again, was like 2% for the last 3 weeks. They were not hanging on to much. So if they can continue to put this together, put a streak together, maybe win more than 3 games in a row, listen, it could get a little hairy out there. It can get interesting in the conference. I'm excited. I'm excited. Let's do a score check here before we hit a break and get Brian Koziel on the program here as we do a pre-game chat with him. NHL games in session now, refreshing. The Flyers are leading the Leafs 3-0 with a minute 20 left in the second period.
The one time when you want to count on the Leafs.
I know, right?
They just disappoint you.
Exactly. I'm not surprised. They can't make it more than one series in the playoffs, so it just kind of winds up happening there. 2-1, Bruins Senators. Bruins leading 2-1 with 4:30 left in the second period. The Penguins Devils. The Devils are up 2-1 with 10 seconds left in the second period. And that's what you need right there. You need the Devils over Pittsburgh. End of second now, officially. 2-1, Devils. Hopefully that sticks. Then looking at the Hurricanes, there are 13 minutes left in the second period, and they are up 3-0 over the Islanders. Exactly what you wanted. Exactly what you wanted. So, listen, it's... And the Red Wings are tied 2-2 at the end of the second with the Blue Jackets. So you got to hope Columbus kind of pulls one out here and gets on the horse and starts riding it out there. So listen, we'll talk more with Brian after the break here, but this is going to be an exciting finale to the season. I can't wait. I know I'm excited for 10 o'clock p.m. when puck drop happens. This is the Nightcap. I'm Joe Calley. You're listening to WGR.
Try to tip that to the middle. Taken away by Greenway. And a quick shot by Jeff Skinner scores the Sabres' sixth goal of the game. Greenway with a nice job to help out Jeff Skinner, who turned and let that one rip.
Skinner, Skinner, chicken dinner. Look at that. Jeff Skinner scores a hat trick last night. What a performance from him. Now, on the West Hurt Hotline, I'd like to welcome in Brian Koziel, host of Tea to Green, every Saturday morning. It's... at 7 a.m. Brian will be joining us shortly. But, I mean, let's talk about that hat trick for a second, right? Skinner's entire tenure as the Sabres, right, on the Sabres, it's been, is he worth the $9 million or whatever he was signed to, right? He is the epitome of consistently inconsistent, I would say. He's hot, he's not. He goes on these crazy runs, you know, so we're soaring, we're flying with Skinner. There's not a star in heaven you couldn't reach. But there's also the other side of that where it's not necessarily, you know, you kind of get lesser production out of him, right? So, listen, I think Jeff Skinner really put it together last night, and that was one of the, again, if you took the other players' goals away, he still would have won the game single-handedly for the team. So you have Tage Thompson contributing, Alex Tuck contributing, and Owen Power contributing. It was just a great game all around. Everyone got a piece of the pie. Now on the West Hurt Hotline, I'd like to welcome in Brian Koziel, host of Tea to Green every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on WGR, and host of Sabres pregame, intermission, and postgame on the Sabres Radio Network. Brian, what a game last night. You and I talked last night, and you know we kind of knew what to expect, but that went better than I could have ever imagined. I mean, how about yourself? Sorry, just having some technical difficulties here. We'll get to Brian whenever he's ready. Whenever the technical difficulties get sorted out, we've still got some time. We'll get a couple questions in for him. But back to Jeff Skinner and the team from last night. You know, the roller coaster continues. You're going to see tonight if they really are, you know, if they're really meant to do what they're going to do, if they're going to try and make that playoff push, it's going to be, in a game like this, a back-to-back. Can they replicate? Can they do what they did last night without stalling, right? That's going to be the big question here. The callers have said it. The callers have even mentioned the cap space. Like, this isn't going to be able to last for too long. You're going to have to start paying these guys. And I don't know. It's going to be... I'm stressed. I'm stressed watching it. I'm stressed listening to it. Everything. The Sabres, I'm doing everything in my power to bring the good vibes. I want them to make the playoffs. I know that most likely isn't going to be the case this season. But at the same time, 7.2% higher than they've had before. Now let's try. We'll get Brian Koziel on the West Hur Hotline. Welcome, Brian. After last night, you and I spoke. I wasn't expecting anything like that. I don't know about you, but that subverted my expectations completely after Saturday's game. I mean, what are your thoughts just right off the bat here?
Yes, Joe. Do you have me now?
Yes, we got you.
Okay, good. Evan, I do have a big echo in my headset, if that could be fixed. I don't know what you can, but anyway, I'll take off the headset and just keep talking here and answer your question. Yeah, last night obviously was quite an interesting scenario. We thought overall, I mean, you know, they're 0-5 all time. So we knew going in that this was going to be kind of a tough test for the Sabres. And when they got a goal 24 seconds into the game, Seattle did, at that point, I was sitting here thinking, oh my goodness, like here we go again. But I got to give the Sabres a ton of credit, you know, to respond 25 seconds later, then get the goal from Skinner, then get the goal from Tuck. I mean, that was a very, very, very good response, the fact that they were able to come back from that. The first periods this year, we know, you know, going back to the first 3 months of the season, have been well documented that they have been very, very poor. For them to be able to respond the way they did like that, I give them a ton of credit, because the past history against Seattle, the poor starts this year, they did not let that affect them. And the fact that they basically came out on the next shift after Eberle scored to tie it up, get things back going, and then, you know, I thought throughout the night, other than the third period, I thought the Sabres were very good. In the third, I thought maybe a little bit too conservative, a little bit too much on their own end, but that's why you have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and he stopped all 18 shots. So to kind of get over that hurdle of Seattle sets up what can be a successful road trip here. You know, I think if you can split these next two games between Vancouver and Edmonton, and then you beat the Calgary Flames, obviously they're hoping to win all of them, but out of these games in Western Canada and Seattle, if you can go 3-1, I think that would be a very, very successful trip. And I know you were kind of looking at the out-of-town scoreboard in your last segment. It is definitely something that you know, could be going, the majority of these games, going the Sabres' way. So for their sake, you got to hope that it keeps going that way.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you're looking right now, the Maple Leafs are really the only thing that's not at this point, I would say. I mean, at this point, though, what I'm looking at here, I should say, I'll specify, I'm looking at moneypuck.com. Sabres are at a 7.2% chance to make the playoffs. If they do, you know, say, throw these last few games together and actually maybe do win them all, what do you see? Do you see that, you know, the possibility really opening up then? Or is it still, like, you know, remain cautiously optimistic, I guess?
Yeah, I think you still have to remain cautiously optimistic. Sorry, I'm getting a lot of feedback in my headset.
No, you're okay.
Hold on, I'll do what I did before and just keep going here.
Yeah.
You know, I think when you look at what happens if they're able to win tonight, that would really set them up nicely to maybe put themselves in a great position, because of the fact that you've got a lot of head-to-heads coming up against the teams that really matter. And, you know, I think probably Washington now becomes number one on everybody's radar. They continue to win. And as we look at that out-of-town scoreboard, and we're sitting here saying, how come Toronto can't help you out? Well, you know, that is kind of annoying. They're playing Philadelphia tonight. However, you really need Toronto even more tomorrow, because Toronto plays in Washington tomorrow night, which, again, isn't ideal. They've got travel. They've got back-to-back. The Capitals are not playing tonight. They're resting. So I guess if you were going to say, you know, when would you want Toronto's best, you'd want it tomorrow. Philadelphia is a team that maybe could drop down because of the Islanders, but if the Islanders keep losing, well, then you don't have to worry about Philadelphia. You worry about maybe just catching the Wings and the Caps. So that could be something that we'll have to keep an eye on. Toronto tomorrow night, really, that's the only game tomorrow night that matters, is Toronto at Washington.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, just one last, or maybe a couple more things, depending on time-wise here. How are you feeling about the Sabres goalie situation tonight? It's going to be Devon Levi, is it not? Oh, we lost Brian again. We're going to wait for his response here. But if it is Devon Levi, I think it's going to be, you know, they're putting the trust in him a little bit and kind of maybe saying something about Comrie like we talked about yesterday. So, you know, dealing with that is one thing. But Devon Levi playing in Rochester, he's been playing phenomenally. He might be able to put something together here tonight and, you know, be that goalie the Sabres, you know, they're looking for. They were waiting for on their team. He and UPL, you know, next season, I think you're going to see the start of it here. Tonight might be the big statement from Devon Levi that he is here and here to stay. But you're gonna see there that it's for real. I have the utmost confidence in Devon Levi. I'm going to be honest with you. I saw him on a plane ride home from the Bills-Jets game in week one. Terrible loss for the Bills, but I saw him there. And, you know, how are you feeling about this goalie situation and Devon Levi in net? We got you back now. I can hear you.
Yeah, I think with Levi, I mean, he obviously is really excited, I'm sure, to get this start. He's been playing outstanding in Rochester. According to plan, you know, while Lukanen's playing virtually every single game here, Levi's getting a ton of work in Rochester. He's facing a ton of shots in these games, kind of more wide open action in the AHL. So he definitely is probably getting what Kevin Adams just wants, which is the bulk load of work and getting himself into kind of their own playoff race with the Amerks. But now this is his chance right here. If he plays great tonight, I got to think that they know that they have confidence that he can play again next Friday and Saturday when they have back-to-backs again with New Jersey and Toronto. If he plays poorly, then you might be tempted to think here and say, well, Lukanen played back-to-back home games at the start of the month with Vegas and Winnipeg, even though maybe he didn't finish that Winnipeg game strong. I think if Levi plays well tonight against a very good Canucks team, my thought would be that, okay, he's going to remain with this team, and then next Friday, Saturday, he's going to get one of those games against the Devils and the Leafs, which happens to be the last back-to-back set of the season. This is the 11th set of 12, and this is the 12th set. And then next weekend is that 12th set of 12. So the schedule overall in terms of the back-to-backs, only one more to go. So if they can get through tonight and Levi can play great, they've only got one more set to dodge to kind of get themselves. If they want to play Lukanen the rest of the way, the schedule sets itself up to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brian, thank you very much. I know technology can never make it easy for anyone, but I appreciate you jumping on here for at least a couple questions, and maybe we'll connect on Thursday for the final game this week, I should say, in the weekdays here of the West Coast trip. But that's been Brian Koziel on the Wester Hotline, and this has been the Nightcap on WGR. My name's Joe Calley. Stay tuned for Sabres pregame. It's going to be a good one tonight. I have a good feeling about it. Wish everyone the best. Go Sabres. This is the Nightcap. You are listening to WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.